My name is Alex Hyde. I'm with Security Scorecard.
Now, I saw securityscorecard.com and I thought 1 million things, all good. And I'm thinking you're helping people rate their networks, check their networks, compliance. Am I getting it right?
That's essentially right.
Okay.
What we do is we have we repeatedly map the entire internet and attribute all of the vulnerabilities and risk findings.
Well, hold on a second.
Have.
My little brain just had a short circuit. You map the entire internet?
Yes. So we do regularly mappings of the entire IPv4 footprint space.
Wow.
And we will attribute those. The IP addresses that we find and any services that are running on them, we will attribute them to the enterprise that is running them. And when there are vulnerabilities, that will be surfaced.
So that is amazing.
So how do you take all the amazing...
Watch your microphone.
How do you take all the amazing rich data and then address your client's needs? How do you transform that?
So essentially, there's a lot of data sciences involved in it. And contextualizing all these different risk signals to be available to the... comprehensible by the end user, because it's fairly complex information, and we boil it down into a color-coded letter grade, and we break it down into 10 different categories of network security, web application security, hacker chatter, leaking passwords, and the like.
And can you describe the company in terms of your client base? Are you corporate, enterprise, government agencies?
So the majority of our client base right now would be in the retail, financial, and insurance fields.
Insurance.
Yeah, so right. And that's been an interesting development that's come fairly recently. A lot of insurance companies are looking for baselines to use as underwriting for cyber insurance policies.
Yeah, we talked about that today. How weird.
We
just about 3 hours ago, we talked about the same thing, and I guessed that some guy got insurance. The company wrote him insurance because he was a code. What do you describe it? He wrote code.
Coder.
Security code. And they said, oh, we're going to insure you because you prevent problems. And I thought they were using it for a baseline.
It's a rapidly emerging field where it's going to be a reality that's coming. That's going to be coming forward within the next few years.
That's amazing. So in terms of the metrics, your scorecard is then used by insurance clients to then turn around and apply to their respective clients. So, for example, Aon would use it for a GE.
So we have insurance companies who are using it to monitor, one, their own security, and then the security of the people that they're underwriting, and then they'll also use the platform to monitor their own vendor ecosystem as well. So there's multiple use cases that we're able to address with the platform, the vendor risk user, the cyber insurance user, and even the information security practitioner who just wants to maintain their own network.
Have the insurance companies gone so far as to say... And I'll give you an example of how this actually happened to Disney. Aon, we want you to use securityscorecard.com, and if you do, I'm going to give you a big break on your insurance.
Those are definitely trends that we've started to see emerging, and those are the types of incentives and drawbacks that people can have when they're not making use of these types of solutions the benefits that when they are making use of it and doing their due diligence.
If I used some travel intelligence platforms back in the day, I got like a 25% discount on my insurance, mm-hmm. and that's a big discount for millions and millions of dollars, right? Because if I was going to take caution and do due diligence and be careful, they're going to reward me for it. So I could see this happening in the cyber world.
Absolutely.
Because now everybody's kind of, I don't know, the way I see the landscape is guys like you, the smartest guys in the room, here's a solution. And the company's like, meh, maybe I'll get back with you on that. I'm hopefully, you know, why isn't everybody doing everything? I know it's cost prohibitive. I get that part. But you got to get to a point where people are going to use it, because I'm afraid we're going to just be taken down.
It's definitely indicators seem to be going that direction. The attacks seem to be getting more and more severe as time goes on, because the tools are easier and more available and more prolific now to less skilled attackers than were before.
Now, how long have you been in this space? How long have you been doing this?
I've probably been doing professionally for about 10 years now.
10 years? You seem like a very young guy. Did you start young?
I started young, my early 20s. I've been with Security Scorecard for about 4 years now.
Okay.
Fantastic. So, Alex, another topic that's come up over the course of today is the third-party vendor assessment.
Yes.
And, for example, we spoke about the New York State Department of Financial Services regulation that applies to all insurance companies, banks, as well as I think it's three or four of the Bitcoin licensed entities. How many of these entities do you believe are already using that type of scorecard, and what do you believe the repercussion will be by not using this in terms of sanctions and fines?
Well, I'm not familiar with the details of the actual penalties for non-compliance, but I do know they are fairly severe. And from the standpoint of how many people are using vendor risk solutions now, is probably something only like 25% of the market is actually making use of these solutions, whereas the others are probably waiting until they get slapped on the wrist before they actually have to make use of it. And what we're seeing with the things like the recent legislation out of New York, it's the third party vulnerability is the main that's the main place that attackers are getting in from. Look at the target breach, for example. It's always the weakest link.
Yes, but the good news is that you have time to help your clients prepare, because that particular phase of the regulation is not effective until 2019.
Okay. Yeah. So there's definitely time for people to get their scores up, because that's the end goal of it. I mean, just because our platform isn't just a final score, we have a collaborative remediation framework where companies work together, and you can see companies' scores raise over time. As the more they use the platform, the more their scores will go. And talk about due diligence and positive security indicators. When we're able to detect that a company is making use of certain security appliances, then that actually causes a boost on their score, which also feeds right into the insurance.
So what keeps Alex awake at night? What do you worry about?
Oh, lately it's been I see that there's probably going to be some types of cryptocurrency attacks on the blockchain coming up within the next few years, just basically vulnerabilities within the cryptocurrency ecosystem that haven't yet come to reality. So right now we're seeing basically Bitcoin thefts or Ethereum thefts, people breaking into websites or taking advantage of application vulnerabilities. I think there might eventually be a protocol vulnerability that is eventually discovered and will completely change that game.
Another unique answer.
Yes, indeed.
I'm going to have 100 things to worry about when the show is over, because everybody's got a different answer about what keeps them up at night. Alex, securityscorecard.com. Great concept.
Thanks
great website.
Thank you, Alex.
Thanks for coming on the show at Black Hat 2017.